Now, ladies and gentlemen, before we begin, if the legendary technical proficiency of our permanent secretary, Don Lipset, comes through in a pinch, we have a special message from one of the charter members of our society. Could I ask everyone to please sit down and to be silent? Thank you. I know you by name, and I am quite capable of calling upon you by name. If I could have you sit down there, please. Thank you. This is what they do in the House of Representatives routinely, I understand. Jim Clellan needs to sit down. That crowd back there needs to sit down, including one of our distinguished past presidents. Very good. All right. This is a very ruly group. Tomorrow is really when we're going to be celebrating the 30th anniversary of the founding of the Philadelphia Society. But, ladies and gentlemen, I must get your cooperation to be silent. And thank you, because this is going to be a trick to pull off here. Milton Friedman was to call in tomorrow noon to participate in the panel discussion of the origins of the Philadelphia Society, but that will not be possible, and we've arranged for him to start off the occasion with a special message. Don?
Okay, let's go.
For at least 30th year of existence, many more than 30 meetings. As you all know, professors started the recycling process long before it became popular. What we recycle are our lecture notes. They're our most precious commodity. And so I went to my file of lecture notes and dug out the notes of the first two meetings of the Philadelphia Society at which I spoke in 1964 and at the founding meeting in 1965. I found that the topic on which I talked at the first meeting was the role of the intellectual and the Mont Pelerin Society. And one sentence in my note struck me especially, and I want to quote it to you. It said, quote, "There is a tendency to underestimate the power of ideas because of the length of time it takes for them to work," unquote. Here we are 30 years later. How well does that idea hold up? How can we compare the present situation and the past? If we look at the realm of ideas, the sentence holds up very well. We're 30 years later, and there is no doubt that the ideological climate, the climate of opinion, is vastly different now than it was in 1965. We were then a beleaguered minority, not PC in any way, shape, form, or manner, and we had a fight to have our ideas heard. Today, everybody expresses belief in free market. Everybody expresses belief in capitalism. You can't get anybody to say it any longer, or hardly anybody, only a few people hidden away in the recesses of our university, that socialism is the way to go. Everybody says capitalism is the way to go. So in the realm of ideas, we have won the battle, supposedly. But suppose you turn from the realm of ideas to the realm of practice. And in that area, we have lost. We are farther from a liberal society today than we were when I lectured to the first meeting of the Mont Pelerin Society in 1964. In 1964, government expenditures amounted to 33% of the national income. Today, it's 43%. Moreover, that grossly underestimates the extent to which government intervention has expanded. We have many expenditures that are mandated, but more important, we have many more controls on our behavior. So we have gone from a society that is approximately a third socialist to a society that is more than half socialist today. So in the realm of practice, we'd have to say that what I said 30 years ago was not correct. And yet, I am still optimistic that we just simply haven't waited long enough. I still believe that the American people are not really going to stand for a version of our society into a wholly centralized, socialized, collective society. And you can see signs of the revolt everywhere. The most prominent sign, of course, is in the term limit movement, which has simply taken over and is spreading everywhere. And if it really goes through and succeeds, it will change the institutions under which we live. To go back to my 1964 talk, I note say, quote, "We urgently need some organization of principle that can serve the function that the Socialist Party served in the 1920s. I had been commenting that the most important political party in the United States in the 20th century was not the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, but the Socialist. Essentially, every element of the 1928 platform of the Socialist Party has by now been adopted. And what I was saying was that they were able to do that because they were a party of principle and not a party trying to get people elected. Such a party has to be a party of expediency. And in the same way, I said, we need such a party. And I said, this is the role that one might hope Philadelphia Society would play. I believe the Philadelphia Society has done a great deal in playing that role and has, as a result, had a great deal of influence in the climate of ideas. But we have to keep pegging away at it and try to make sure that that change in the intellectual climate is converted into a change in practice. Finally, I want to end by saluting Don Lift, who, defying every law of biology, was the true father of the Montpelerin Society, almost a virgin birth. He did a splendid job then, and he's been doing a splendid job ever since, in tending it and caring for it with paternal loving. Long may he continue to do that, and long may you flourish. Thank you for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we can all agree that was a very distinguished way to pass the salad course. Now, please enjoy the rest of your meal.